The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Just because my get up and go has got up and gone, that doesn't mean that I have to lay down with it. I have greater power than how I feel. I can actually say, I am going to get up off of this couch and I am going to do something with my life.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
Our show today on Everyday Answers is a very important one. It's a topic that we take very seriously. So if you or someone you know and love has been dealing with depression, get them in front of this program. In fact, we did a Twitter poll and we asked the question, do you know someone who was dealing with depression? And 85% of the people said yes. We know that it's practically an epidemic in our society. People are dealing with some really difficult circumstances, and we know that God holds answers that can change their lives, that can change your life. We've received many, many questions about the different circumstances that people deal with that are so hard and often lead to depression, so Joyce stopped by to answer them. Joyce, we have so many questions. Always people are asking about getting over a broken heart and feeling depressed, and we know that there are a lot of rough circumstances in life, people who are desperately hurting, but we also know that there's a God who loves us and wants to help us through all these circumstances. Right. So let's start a little bit by talking about the fact that we know depression is real. To say that God wants us to be better does not mean that depression doesn't exist. There are many reasons that people are depressed. So what would you see as some of those circumstances and some of those reasons that people may be dealing with?
Well, I mean, depression can just be caused from even chemical disorders in your body. So a lot of times when we talk about depression, we're almost talking about it more, not from a medical standpoint, but more from like letting yourself get downtrodden and depressed because of just your circumstances. And nobody,
recognizing there's a difference.
Yeah, nobody's saying that that the circumstances aren't real.
Right.
But it's the joy of the Lord that can be our strength. Not that, you know, one of the great things about living the resurrection life in Christ that Paul prayed for, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, that lifts me out from among the things going on in the world, even while I'm in this body. So it's not that circumstances aren't real. It's not that they don't hurt us. But I was just reminded again recently through a book that I'm reading that, you know, emotions are so volatile. And there's so many things that can make them fluctuate. And really, if you just would take the time to pay attention to your emotions for 1 week, I mean, the weather can affect them, how you slept can affect them, what other people say or do can affect them. So one of the privileges that we have as believers is learning to not deny our emotions, but also not let them control us.
Right, to live beyond them, as you say.
To live beyond them. And so the good news is that in Christ, there's always hope. And so no matter how down you feel, if you have hope, which is an expectation that things are going to change, that things can change, that something good is going to happen, if you hang on to that hope, then you won't stay depressed. But like I said, there are medical reasons for depression. You know, there are things that may be hurting people from a long, long time ago that are unresolved issues in their life that they may need to deal with. Some people, I think, end up feeling depressed and sad because they're angry. They've been angry for a long time at someone or about something, and they need to work through the process of forgiveness. So it's not just a one answer fits all when it comes to this, but God has provided a better way for us to live.
Yeah, and there is hope for every situation.
Absolutely.
Well, here's a question from Aveline. She says, I'm brokenhearted and lost. Why is God not showing me any way that things will get better?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of God not showing us. I think it's a matter of whether we're willing to see it or not. You know, I had a very interesting thing happen just recently in my own walk with God. I was telling God something I needed him to do. But I need you to do
that. We've all been there, yeah.
I don't even remember now what was going on, but it was something I didn't like, and I needed God to do something. And the answer just came back to me so sweetly from God, I need your faith. Mm-hmm. And that just keeps sticking with me that, you know, we have to be so careful that we don't lose our faith. The Bible talks about fighting the good fight of faith. And so I've been walking with God for 40 years and teaching the Word for over 40 years. And so, you know, you would think that my faith would be perfect all the time, but just like anybody else, you can let circumstances crowd in and begin to think, well, God, I need. But see, the point is as long as we are believing God, God is working. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, God is working. And so I think that this beautiful young lady, if she would just maybe look at things a little differently, instead of just, you know, we can drown in the way we feel.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, literally just be eaten up by the way we feel. And, well, I feel. But feelings are not reliable. I mean, they're really not. I mean, they may be real, but what you feel today, you may not feel tomorrow at all, whether that's sadness or elation. Mm-hmm. And so we have to stop letting our feelings control our life and learn that there is a higher life for us,
yeah,
one that we can attain in Christ Jesus. And so I would just encourage her, maybe she just needs to simply turn her faith back on again. You know, there's a scripture in Romans 15 that says that the God of our hope will fill us with joy and peace in believing. Mm. But really, that scripture says the whole thing. First of all, is he the God of your hope? Or have you given up hope? And if you've lost your joy and your peace, it's going to be found again in believing.
Yeah.
Then extra time with God and surrounding yourself with other people that will build you up is very important. Sometimes
that's
you have
good,
to kind of,
yeah,
you know, I mean, let's just say maybe somebody's married to somebody that just does not have the gift of encouragement. They just don't get it. They don't give compliments, whatever. Well, then you need to find a couple of very encouraging friends and let God work through them to give you what you need.
Yeah.
We can't always expect every person in our life to give us everything we need. Sometimes we have to trust God to bring what I call divine connections. So if I'm not getting what I need from this person, then God can bring somebody else.
Yeah. This is a very simple but poignant question from Kenny. How do I stop feeling unsatisfied?
Well, Jesus said if you eat and drink of him, the living bread and the living water, then you'll always be satisfied. So I think that, you know, a good thing to do is to ask yourself, really get honest with yourself, okay, why am I unsatisfied? Am I unsatisfied because I don't like myself? Sometimes people are never going to be satisfied with anything in life because they're not satisfied with themselves. There's a war going on the inside of them, mm-hmm, all the time. And that may very well be the case with this particular person. You cannot ever be satisfied with anybody if you don't come to a point of being satisfied with yourself. And when I say that, I don't mean that you never want to change, but I mean you are what you are, and you have to take the gifts you have and make the best of them. But really, discontentment and dissatisfaction in life many times comes from just not trusting God. We're wanting to be where we're not. We want what somebody else has. We don't have that. And so I believe that any question that you have like that in your life, if this person will go to God and say, now, what is the root of my dissatisfaction? There's something there that they're not seeing. And God gives us answers. We may not always like them, but he will give us answers to what's going on. I mean, for example, somebody might say to the Lord, well, why do I feel so dissatisfied? Well, the answer could come back, well, you're not thankful.
Yeah.
Or the answer could come back, well, you're selfish. You know, like I said, we don't always like to hear those things,
right,
but there are reasons why we continue to have these adverse feelings.
But anytime we're just living in dissatisfaction, we're not living in the joy of the Lord.
No, and that's not God's will for us. He doesn't
exactly
want us to do that. So you got to learn how to enjoy where you're at on the way to where you're going. And hey, I have to make a decision to do that many days, just like everybody else. It's not that I've got everything all together and every day I wake up, you know, perky and wanting to sing a song, you know, because that's not the case. So I have to make decisions like everybody else.
Yeah. Well, as we close, let me just ask you this then. What is your best suggestion for someone right now who is watching and and is in that state of depression and they want something to hold on to, what would you tell them to do?
Well, right away, I have to remember the psalmist David, who wrote in the Psalms that he was going through. I mean, he was depressed, he was discouraged, and he said when he felt that way, he remembered greater days in his life when God had done great things. So I think when you're depressed and discouraged, you need to find hope in something. And hope is not a depressed state. Hope is an expectation that something good is going to happen. And the thing I love is that Peter said we're born again into an ever-living hope. So when we receive Christ as our Savior, we're never without hope. The only way we feel hopeless is if we stare at our circumstances and we're just glancing at Jesus. But if we stare at Jesus, we keep our eyes on Him, and we just glance at our circumstances. You know, Abraham, he knew his circumstances. He knew what was going on in his life. He considered his circumstances, but he still did not let those circumstances steal his faith. And listen, I know this is a battle for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody has issues in their life. Everybody is going through things. And I've been around long enough to know that I don't have an answer to give anybody a perfect day every day, but I do know that hope is a powerful, powerful motivator. If you're sick today, you can hope to feel better tomorrow. If you got hurt today, you can hope, you know, that things will be better tomorrow. The great thing, many great things about God, but one of the greatest is that we are never hopeless when we're in Him. So I would remember something good that's happened to you and expect something good to happen again tomorrow and spend time with God. You know, the more you spend time with God, He can reach places in us that nobody else can get to. So too often we run to people to fix our problems and we want them to make us happy again. And a lot of times they just don't have the ability to give us what we need. So we need to go to Jesus.
Great suggestions, Royce. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Isn't that great news? Grab onto that hope that Joyce was talking about. It's real, it's alive, and it's there for you. So be tenacious. Coming up, we have more from Joyce on overcoming depression. We'll have a story from Your Voice about persevering against some difficult circumstances. And we'll introduce you to a woman who thought she would be the last person in the world to have to deal with depression, but it almost destroyed her life. So stay tuned for that. And we also want to offer you some resources that will help you study God's Word. You know, there's so much in the Bible. People who are sharing their own bouts with depression. People who are talking about the wounds and the deep hurt of their soul. And then God comes in and He helps them through the truth of His love, of His caring for them. So understanding and overcoming depression is something that really helps us because it tells us what the Bible says about depression, what God wants to do in your life. And this teaching from Joyce is four teachings on CD or available by a digital download, and it's yours today for any amount. We just want to get God's Word in your hands because it is something that can change the darkest of depressions. And like we talked about earlier, there are many things that you have to do. There are many things that you need to look at. What are the potential causes of your depression? What are some things that may help you? But we know that God's Word is the number one thing that you need to grab onto. And depression can strike anyone. It isn't bound by who you are, your social status, or in this case, your profession. Meet a friend you may recognize.
This lady came up to me at the end of one of my concerts and says, I don't think you should talk about taking your antidepressants. That makes your faith look weak. I told her to take her glasses off and drive home. I did. Sometimes there's a little anger component to my depression.
To look at her, you'd never know that Emmy-nominated comedian and best-selling author Shonda Pierce battles depression. It totally contradicts her public persona.
When a very renowned psychiatrist sits in Nashville, Tennessee, and looks at me and says, I think you're clinically depressed, I was like, well, I'm a comedian. That can't be. You know, that's going to throw a big kink in my job. Nobody wants to buy a ticket and see you cry for 2.5 hours, you know?
The word depression has sort of become her battle cry. Shonda says for far too long, the word was barely whispered within the walls of the church.
I thought depression would probably be the end of my career. And it really turned out to be a giant resurgence in my career, in that all of a sudden, people who were sitting in that pew for years had a voice.
Did you hear that woman has become a billionaire selling Spanx? The woman that created Spanx is a billionaire. She's also a size 2. She's trying to torture us girls that like cheeseburgers.
Sometimes we're not even truthful with our own selves, much less the people we're sitting in a pew with. And when you begin to hear your voice speak truth, you know, the Bible is right. It will set you free.
She was diagnosed with depression 15 years ago, saying she believes it stems from a troubled childhood.
My sisters and I were very physically inappropriately abused as kids growing up. And then couple that with a man who would get up and preach in the pulpit, it made for a very confusing childhood. Then death came along, and my big sister was 20 when she was killed in a car accident, and it shook the very already fragile foundation of my home. And about 19 or 20 months later, my little sister came home from high school with a sore throat, and we took her to one doctor and to another and found out she had leukemia. And in 21 days, she died. I think I was probably depressed for a while at a level of depression, thinking that was my normal. When another circumstance would come along, or when something else piled on top of that, that teeter-totter just kept tilting until my brain chemistry could no longer handle it alone, and I had to get some help. And I remember going to a doctor and sitting down, and he said, tell me about a little bit about your childhood. And I almost told verbatim what I told on a stage for 15 years. You know, because I had it down pat. I'd been telling that story forever. And he said, my, that's quite a lot to deal with. I said, yeah, but the Lord's been good to me. He goes, well, of course the Lord's good to you, but now what happened? Have you ever talked to somebody about, you know, what it's like to be the only sister left? How did that make you feel? Did it make you feel like you were, you know, that the Lord was picking on you? And I was like, well, yeah, you know? And it's like, all of a sudden, he began to get feelings out of me that I had pushed down and had suppressed. And a lot of it was thinking that God might not love me if I tell him the truth.
Expressing her anger, frustration, and her pain to God became liberating.
God did is to let that stuff pour out of my spirit so I had more room for him.
Facing her past prepared Shonda for the most difficult moment of her life, when her husband of 31 years passed away.
I had to learn to live on fact, not on feeling. I had to learn to be humble enough to take my medicine in the morning to keep my brain chemistry, you know, from whacking out on me. I had to learn that I have to get up and take a walk. I cannot let my body, you know, not get those endorphins flowing. I learned all these things to climb out of a dark, dark place, that those tools are so just right in the tips of my fingers when this terrible tragedy happened. And now I can look back and go, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you humbled me enough to take care of business back then when I needed to.
This is my home away from home. It's where we make our godly coffee and tea. Artwork from home.
She travels the world, sharing her story through humor and music. She was doing this long before the depression almost consumed her life. But the difference now is she has nothing to hold back, and the truth truly has set her free.
The sweetness of depression, what the gift that it's been to me is that at long last, I can love God and honor him and glorify him and cry out to him because of who he is, not how he makes me feel. Because he's worthy, and it has nothing to do with how I feel.
Well, you may be one of those people who are always laughing on the outside, but feeling very different on the inside. And Shonda experienced a lot of pain in her life, but she has found her joy in the Lord, and so can you. Here's Joyce.
Now, depression is a type of deadness. I think we can all say that. Anybody here who's ever been depressed for even a half a day, you know that there's no worse feeling. You have no desire to do anything. Thoughts are dark and negative. And you know, when David was depressed, the psalmist David, King David, when he was depressed, he didn't just lay there and be depressed. Let's look at Psalm 42 and 43 and just see some of the action that David took. Now, let me just preempt what I'm going to say about depression by saying this. I know that many people suffer from depression. I'm not at all being insensitive. If it's something medical that you cannot help, then keep looking for the help that you need until you get it. But almost everything that I read on the subject says that even if depression is caused from something in your body or something medical, you still have to fight it on several levels. And so maybe you can't do anything about the medical part, but a lot of people's depression really has nothing to do with something wrong with them. It's the way they're thinking. Come on, does anybody know you can think yourself right into a fit? It's the way they talk. It's their outlook on life. It's not being grateful. It's not being thankful. But largely, it's just by having your mind on the wrong stuff. And that's what David talks about here. Psalm 42:5. I love the way he talks to his own soul. Why are you cast down, O my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him, my help and my God. Now, if you read the first part of this, David remembers, like, look at verse 3, Psalm 42:3. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? So he was apparently going through a really rough time, and even people are taunting him saying, well, where's your God? These things I earnestly remember. I love his response. These things I earnestly remember and pour myself out within me, how I went slowly before the throng and led them in procession to the house of God, like a bandmaster before, and so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there was a time when he was bringing the ark of God into the city, and they threw such an outrageous party, and David got so unbelievably happy that he stripped down to a loincloth and danced in the streets. And he said, I'm crying, but here's what I'm going to think about. Come on now. See, you can think about anything you want to think about. You don't have to think about every bad thing that's ever happened to you in your life. You don't have to just think about all your problems all day long. You can choose to remember some good things in your life. And so can I. I really want to get people to understand that they can't be passive. And a passive person wants something good to happen, and they're just going to sit there and wait to see if it does. But that we must be purposeful people. We must be people who live on purpose. And by that I mean we decide what we're going to do and we get up and do it. We don't wait to have to feel like it or to think it's a good idea or to have a whole bunch of people clapping and cheering for us. Just because my get up and go has got up and gone, that doesn't mean that I have to lay down with it. I have greater power than how I feel. I can actually say, I am going to get up off of this couch and I am going to do something with my life.
Well, like Joyce says, it will take deliberate effort to beat depression. And when you're battling something like this, you don't always feel like doing the work. So here are some teachings to guide and motivate you to find that freedom that Christ wants for you so desperately to have. This is Joyce's teaching called Understanding and Overcoming Depression. 4 teachings on CD, or you can get it as a download. And let me tell you about a couple things in this because I think you're really going to love it. It talks about the certain myths and misconceptions about depression. Those are important to know. And then it also helps you to have several strategies that you can use to overcome or to keep yourself free from depression. It's for any amount because it's so vital that people understand what God wants to do in all of our lives. And we just believe that you will do your very best as you're giving to receive this. And if you can, give a little extra to make up for someone else, just to make sure it gets in everyone's hands who possibly needs it. Well, I know you have a lot to say about this topic, so it's time for your voice. We recently asked you to share stories of personal triumph that would just help encourage others to not give up. And here's a great example of some of the amazing stories that we received. This is Queenie from India. She says, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease when I was 18. I was pursuing my first year studying engineering and was asked to discontinue because doctors thought I couldn't study and take care of my health. I'm 25 now, and I have finished my master's in engineering. As Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It was by His grace I could finish my studies. I take 11 tablets a day, but that never pulls me down because I know that God has something big in store for me. I thank God for making me a testimony. Well, Queenie, thank you for sharing that testimony. And anyone watching right now, He wants to be there for you in the very same way. He is no respecter of persons, which means He doesn't lift anyone up over another. When you draw near to Him, He draws near to you. So today on social media, share with us some of the practical steps that you have perhaps taken to overcome depression. You can really help someone else who may be walking through something similar to what you've been through. So go to any of those social media areas, our Joyce Meyer Ministries Facebook page. You can use Instagram, Twitter, use hashtag EA. And make sure also that you are right here with us next week on Everyday Answers.
You are armed and dangerous. God has disarmed the principalities and powers, and He has armed you to be more than a conqueror in life.
Well, as we close today, we just pray that you have heard something that you can grab onto. Depression is real. We know that you might be hurting so badly inside that there is help that you may need to get outside of yourself. But remember that God is bigger than anything you are dealing with, and He can help you. My prayer is always that your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow. And you may not feel that today, but keep trying. And as you get closer and closer day by day to Him, that joy, that peace in your life will also overflow. And remember, it's not your joy in yourself. It's not your joy in your circumstances. It's joy in Him. So keep digging for that. Don't give up.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.